G'day, Bill. How are you, mate?
Good. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Good, man. It's good to talk to you again, man. It's been a little while.
Likewise. Oh, yeah.
When was the last time? I think it was for Torn Arteries. That was the last time we had a chat. So that's
Yeah, quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot has happened since then. You got married, didn't you? Since then?
Yeah, that's right. God, when was that? That was right as, like, lockdown was tapering off, and we still had some restrictions in place here, but you know, as things were relaxing somewhat, you know, people were starting to, you know, cautiously go out and do little social things and whatever.
And mate, of course, Carcass are finally coming back to Australia this April with the Black Dahlia Murder and Freedom of Fear. It's finally happening, dude. It's finally.
Yeah, because I'm sure you're aware. This was what we were supposed to do right when the news about the pandemic started to come through. And, I mean, everything was booked for us. We were practically about to fly the following week. And, there were just a couple of days there where it was really difficult. You know, we were going back and forth on whether we should take the risk of flying out. Obviously in the end we didn't. I guess it was the right decision, because if we had, we wouldn't have been able to leave Australia for a very long time. I mean, there are, you know, many worse places to be stuck, but, you know, in terms of, you know, home and family and friends and stuff, yeah, we would have been away for, yeah, ages, I guess.
You know the band The Who? Not like the UK band, the other band from Mongolia. The Who. They got stuck down
here. Oh, that, yeah, yeah.
They got stuck.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, there's obviously good sides to that. You know, it's a lovely place to visit. But I guess there's that uncertainty if you don't know how long you're forced to stay somewhere, you know.
That's right. That's right. And, well, I had plane tickets. What was it? Download Festival. You guys were going to be doing Download. And I had plane tickets, the whole thing. I was ready to go as well. And, yeah. But at least we're getting a second chance. You know.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it nicely completes the circle for us, you know. So I'm glad we're finally getting to return. I mean, you know, I always say this, but it's a great place to visit just as a tourist anyway. So, you know, being able to go there and play some gigs, you know, it's great.
Is this the last of the Torn Arteries cycle? Like, I know it's sort of been drawn out a little bit, but are you sort of slowly ticking off that box for this touring cycle?
I mean, I suspect not. I mean, you know, we've done a fair bit off the back of that record, but I think compared to what we did with Surgical, it's just scraping the surface, really, because we did about 5 years touring and festivals and so on to support that record. I mean, personally, I'm hoping it doesn't become 5 years again with this one, because, I mean, you know, half a decade's a long time.
Yes. And
it's quite nice to get creative and work on new things and record. But I guess, you know, we've got at the very least another year of solid touring ahead of us. And then beyond that, I mean, I think that's just something that we'll have to figure out between the guys in the band. You know, not everyone's going to agree on what's the best use of our time. You know, some people really like recording. Some people just want to be out on the road. Some people like a bit of both, you know.
Where do you sit in that? Are you a recording dude or a touring dude?
I'd say I'm in the kind of middle camp, you know, like both. I feel like probably most musicians would say that, you know, like they need both. They're very different things. The rewards you get from recording are fantastic, because it's a very exciting moment when you're putting something down that will last. I mean, obviously it can be nerve-wracking, because you know, if you open up that side of your brain that worries about how good it is or how it's going to be perceived, you know, that can be stressful perhaps. But I think if you just lose yourself in what you're doing and commit to the moment, you know, it's just a really exciting process. You never, you know, going into the studio, you never know quite how it's going to develop. And yeah, it's very rewarding to come away with something that you're at least partially happy with. You know, it's never 100%. Live is a totally different thing. It's, you know, it's like you're going out there to represent, you know, all the music you've made. You know, you're playing material that's already been tested out. But it's a challenge in a different way, of course. Sometimes you're supporting an act and their audience isn't particularly interested in you. So the challenge is, can you win them over or at least make them tolerate you to some degree, you know?
I couldn't imagine that with Carcass, though. Everyone loves Carcass. Have you, when has that happened? Give me an example of when recently that sort of happened for you. Because I can't imagine it at all.
No, it really does. I'd say the most recent example would be the Arch Enemy Behemoth tour across Europe.
Really?
Last year. I can't even remember when that was. My brain's foggy. But, that was an arena tour. So straight off the bat, a group like us is going to be uncomfortable because we're not designed to play arenas. Mm. And for me personally, that was never an ambition. You know, it's something I never really wanted to do. But that was the nature of the tour, and we're playing beneath those bands, and it's their audience. So yeah, quite a few of those gigs, the audience was, I would say, disinterested. It's probably the nicest way of putting it.
Oh man, their loss. Carcass is one of the best bands on the planet. So that's that would have been cool to hear some of those songs though through those massive, massive PAs. Like, I'm sure you.
I think, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I totally love club venues. To me, that's where, you know, most of the real music happens. Mm. But I mean, if you get up to the size of something like a nice old theater that's like 2,000 or 3,000 capacity, that's fantastic too. And those rooms often sound really, really good. But the arena thing is they're just these huge anonymous boxes, you know. Maybe sometimes they have got a big sound, but often it's just kind of vibeless, really.
Yeah, I kind of get that. Like, the bigger it is sometimes. Like, I prefer the smaller club stuff too. Like, the venue you're playing in Brisbane, who did I see there recently? I think it was Sepultura. But it was phenomenal. It was just the sound, the vibe of the venue, perfect sort of size. And, man, I think you guys are just, you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. But you're
great.
As we mentioned before, you're bringing the Black Dahlia boys over with you, and I love those guys, and I think it's special that they're coming back to Australia as well, considering, you know, we lost Trevor a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You know, have you been in touch with those guys about it? Are they friends of yours? Because I know that they class Carcass as one of their influences, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, we did tour with them, you know, some years back. You know, everyone got along well. I'd say probably out of all of us, maybe Dan knows them better than the rest of us. Mm. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely looking forward to playing with them. From what I recall, you know, all those years back was that it's very difficult. In a good way, a very difficult group to play with because their energy level is so high. Mm. You really do run the risk of looking lame if you play after them. I mean, we were sort of, when this was initially floated, the idea of the two bands together, we were like, great. Now, can we make sure that they play after us? But it's, you know, that's the kind of stuff you want, though. You know, you want someone to give you a kick up the arse. You know, you might be having a bad day or a low energy day, and watch the band playing, you know, that evening, and it's like they're giving so much and pumping the room so much that you feel like, well, I'm going to have to do my bit, you know. That should be really good.
And Freedom of Fear as well. They are friends of mine. really, really good people, but fucking one of the best bands that we have in this country. Have you heard them yet? Have you checked them out?
No. I'm looking forward to it.
Mate, they are, they just make sure you just, if you get a chance, I know what it's like. It's busy when you're on the road and you're trying to get everything sorted out. But if you get a chance, man, just make sure you check them out, because they are just, they should be doing all the international stuff, you know, touring overseas. They are very, very, very good and really good kids. Just, well, you know.
Yeah. Well, stylistically, what kind of thing is it?
I don't know, kind of maybe closer to what Flesh God Apocalypse do, but they're just great, man, and great people. So that's my little check in about my. I mean, they're friends of mine, but they're a great band. So
cool, yeah,
good stuff. So it's going to be an absolute killer package. Of course, another thing I wanted to ask you about was next year marks 40 years. Well, not including the breakup and reunion, but 40 years since the band first began. I believe, when you were back in school. That's a long time. Mm. Everyone starts off with that dream of being a full-time musician, touring the world and doing all that kind of stuff. But do you remember when it actually sunk in that you guys were going to be in it for life, you know, where it sort of really sunk its teeth in and it became a serious thing?
Wow. I don't know if it ever really did sink in fully. Probably the closest to that would have been the period around... the recording and release of Heartwork, I guess, because somehow or other we'd ended up on a major label in the US, which is never part of the plan. In fact, we'd never had a plan of any kind, really. It was just kind of moving the thing forward in increments, you know, like from, you know, let's try and do a demo to like, oh, okay, well, maybe we'll do some gigs, and then, well, I think we could possibly do an album now. You know, it was just very small steps, but significant steps for us, you know. So the major label thing was just really a big surprise, something we weren't quite prepared for. I mean, obviously it didn't work out particularly well, but it just looking back, it's bizarre. How the hell did that happen? So that phase, I think, would have been the only time where you felt like, well, this is almost looking... like a career, you know. But,
Well, I mean, here it is now. You're touring the world and doing these massive festivals. Do you feel that Carcass is more, I guess, financially successful now since the reunion?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's simply no comparison. I mean, for a start, the festivals that we do most summers, and you know, our peer group, they do the same thing. I mean, that whole scene just didn't exist during the original incarnation of the band. And as anybody in a group will tell you, if you do enough festivals over the summer, that is going to keep your band afloat financially. Because often there isn't, you know, a large amount of money in touring. You know, you're doing that for a multitude of reasons. One might be to promote an album, to, you know, obviously, because that's what bands do. You go out and play. It doesn't generate the kind of money that would, yeah, necessarily ensure a band's survival. I mean, it can do if you're really shrewd, but you'd be surprised how many bands just, you know, are kind of around the break-even stage for doing, you know, a four-week tour or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. And it's hard work. You know, people just, you know, I guess people have this perception of bands that you everyone's in the Taylor Swift flying in private planes and doing all that. You know what I mean? But it's far from it. It's usually vans and smelly hotels. And, you know, you've probably seen your fair share of that. But you're still out there slogging it and doing amazing. I mean, everyone, as I said, everyone loves Carcass. And I'm excited for the future of what Carcass has got to hold. Have we got some new music on the way in some shape or form?
Not at the moment. I mean, as far as the eye can see, we've just got tours, dates, festivals. That would pretty much take us up towards the end of the year. And then beyond that, yeah, this is something that will just have to be kind of in some way discussed between the various band members, because, you know, we had a similar situation after we released Surgical Steel. We got deep into touring, and after a couple of years, I think one or two of us thought, well, maybe now we should start gradually working on some new material. But then you discover not everybody's on the same page. So you go back and do another year or two of touring, and then before you know it, half a decade's gone. So I'm kind of hoping we don't mimic that situation too closely, because, you know, 5 years is a hell of a lot of time. But yeah, we've got to be at a point where everyone wants to record. So if and when that time comes around, great. But, you know, it doesn't feel like it's particularly close right now.
And what about other projects on the side? Have you got other stuff you're working on outside of Carcass?
Yeah, I've been doing some demos on and off for, I guess, a few months, a year or so, with a couple of friends in Leeds. And we haven't decided what to call it, but we've done a whole bunch of tunes, maybe around 15 or so, with the idea that at some point we'll pick the best numbers and record them properly for an album. Because I just really wanted to do something of that nature for quite a while. I just didn't really have the confidence or any kind of vision of a way forward. But, you know, my friends were very sort of helpful in getting me started on that. And, yeah, I mean, it's just nice to have another, you know, another outlet for your music, because, I mean, Carcass doesn't record very often, as we discussed. So, you know, I mean, I actually enjoy being in the studio. So it'd be really nice if I could make an album with someone else, really.
What kind of stuff? Like, what genre?
I don't know. It's very hard to assess, but I mean, I could come to. I mean, it's pretty much. I just let out whatever was going to come out. I didn't really think in terms of genre. I'm imagining that my main influences are going to come somewhere between that kind of 70s bluesy hard rock stuff, new wave of British heavy metal. That it's in that type of vibe. It's riff rock, but we've really tried to finesse the songs. Like, really worked relatively hard by my standards on the arrangements, you know. So I feel like we couldn't ever call it Firebird, because already this has quite a different vibe to it.
Yeah. Wow. I'm keen to hear it, man. I'm keen to hear what you got cooking up, that's for sure. Yeah, unreal, man. But hey, man, in the meantime, we're going to see you and the Carcass Boys down here in April with the Black Dahlia Murder and Freedom of Fear. And we'll have all the links on the website and down in the show notes. Bill, it's always great to talk to you, man. Let's have a chat soon. Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, brother. See you soon.
Yeah, you too. All right, cheers.